Hi and welcome, this is Colin Powell from Into Infinity. Again, we're talking about fourth dimensional space. Give you an overview of some of the mathematical consequences of the X space function and Y time function as they come together in an algorithm, which is, well, X plus or minus X, should we say, over plus or minus Y plus or minus plus or minus y. You put the thing in brackets, no times. Just divide. Yeah, we're going to take plus or minus x, divide by plus or minus y, and then we're going to plus that to plus or minus y. So what we can do is obviously we can change the plus or minus y to a z function, and separate out that number. So that means we get plus or minus x over plus or minus y plus or minus z, and that gives us the three vector function. But we're going to just talk about the two vector function for now, just so we can keep y as a simple time function. And what are the consequences of that? Well, as you can imagine, if you've got plus and a minus, and all that plus and minus thing going on, it means that you get different types of plus and minus, and we saw that order is everything in the fourth dimension. And the reason is because we have plus, minus, and minus, plus are different things. And so plus, plus, and minus, minus are also different things. For example, if you use standard mathematics, you can times plus 2 by plus 2, and you'll get plus 4. Or if you times minus 2 by minus 2, you'll also get plus 4. But those two types of plus 4 will be different in fourth dimension. They will have a different shape and they will look different. They will appear in different types of the number axis. Basically, the number axis is divided by something called 0 squared, which puts two number lines opposites to each other. So let's think about this. If we have this this structure and we decide to put it onto a cross, let's letter the cross A, B, C, D, going around in a circle, starting at the top at 12 o'clock. And we can put, let's put a plus plus at the top by A on that cross. We're going to put a plus minus on the B side. We're going to put a minus minus on the C side and a minus plus on the D side. And so that's going to give us an A, B, C, D vector calculation, if you imagine, yeah? So, you know, when we take that cross, that number cross, we're going to now compile that with another set of numbers of some description. We're going to take another XY function that has those same four kind of capacities, and we're going to say multiply or divide them, you know, or divide it. That would be the most simple calculation, wouldn't it? Yeah. But what we find is that when we do that, we've got two options, haven't we? Yeah. Everything gets ABC'd to ABC'd. You know. So every A has ABC'd. D, yeah, and so forth. And because there are actually different, even DD will be different to DD seen from the other perspective, as it were, yeah. But when we add all of that up, it means that, you know, for each of the four, let's take the number A, for example, we could have AA, we can have AB, we can have AC, and we can have AD. And each one of those vectors is different, which would mean, let's look at AA, that would be plus plus, and then we'd have, we could either divide it or we could multiply it, and minus minus, yeah. If we looked at something else that had a kind of plus plus function in it, like the AD, yeah, we see that AD is plus plus and plus or minus, but it has a minus plus, because D is a minus plus, isn't it? Yeah. So each one of those four ABCDs has another ABCD next to it, like two parallel lines, yeah. And so when we multiply those, we're really timesing 4 by 4, which you could say is a 16, but if you just count it rather than actually multiplying it, how many ways can we proceed? What can we do? Yeah, we could multiply it. We could also divide it, couldn't we? Yeah, yeah, we could divide those numbers. 4 divided by 4 equals 1. Yeah, 1 to 8. Divide and multiplication, you could say, let's say that could be an option, isn't it, yeah, for these two numbers, now that we've actually got them there, yeah. We're going to plus them in all the variations that we can plus them or minus them together. And then what we're going to look at then, we're going to times them together, or we could divide them together. And then that's going to sort of, you know, give us 4, and then the function, isn't it, times 8, 4 times 8, yeah. And so that becomes 32, yeah? 32. Right, so a function 32. And the function of 32 is really important because it's actually the number of electrons that we find in the maximum of the electron shell, yeah? So It was also the half of 64, if we think about it, yeah? So let's have a little think about this. If I had a little switch, let's say I have a 64-bit grid, and I have a switch, and I say, look, that's negative 32 on one side, positive 32 on the other. And then what I can do is I can utilize that to take one cross as being 132 and the other cross as being another 32, and I can perform a multiplication on, I can do anything with those 32s. And that means that, you know, from a single switch, 1 and 0, I can do a calculation, can't I, into a 32-bit calculation, which is quite a lot, 32 results in a way, yeah? And some of those results might be the same, but the fact that they're the same is a number comparative, isn't it? We can still compare them, yeah? So that's one way of thinking, yeah? And then once you start to think about that, we can think, well, what do we need then? We need to maybe rotate the A, B, and C, D, yeah? So we can get imagine like you were rotating across, and you could see from each vector, you could say, well, that's what it looks like from that way. Let's rotate it, that's what it looks like that way. And it creates a sort of rotation. So we could take one cross, we could go A, B, C, D, and we could go round, and it creates a kind of rotational vector that just goes da 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 da. And we could take another rotational vector, which could go A, D, C, B, and go in the other direction there. And what we could have is then we could have two bits that just fire off this selection, isn't it, yeah? So that actually we can just say da 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 and flip-flop between them and make a change on one, make a change on the other, make a change on one, make a change on the other. That would be a little two-bit operation. And for every time the two-bit switches, we can just switch positive, minus, positive, minus, positive, minus. And thinking about then a concept of how we might tie that into a voltage concept. So, you know, imagine we had like a square of 8, which is what we were talking about. So we're just going to look now at some kind of concept of square numbers. So now what we're going to do is we're going to add the zero plane in. And what the zero plane does really is it adds that positive and negative. It is that positive and negative switch that takes us up or down through the square. And what we can do is we don't just have to have like a 1 or a 0. We could have like a number up to 8, for example, yeah? So that means our Z factor could be 8, yeah? And the way we would build that, then we could build a chip itself that works, let's say, has layers. The first layer would be a square of 8, square of 7, square of 6, square of 5, square of 4, square of 3, square of 2, square of 1. And we could charge that with, we could set certain transistors in that at different voltages, so that all the chips would equal. They'd have the same kind of voltage across them. It's just that one would be smaller or contain less chips. Less transistors, should we say. So now that we've got that concept, we can look at the concept of 1 squared, 2 squared, 3 squared, 4 squared, 5 squared, 6 squared, 7 squared, 8 squared as a numerical sequence. We can look at that as 1, 4, 9, 16, 25, 36, 49, 64. Yes, the square number sequence. And let's say what we do is we take the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, we invert them. And so when we're doing the square of 1, it becomes 8, 4 becomes comprised of 7, 6 comprised of 9 comprised of 6, 16 comprised 5, 25, 4. See, we're just counting backwards. So we just labeled them backwards in a backwards order. But we've actually numbered them. And what that happens is now we can times them together and we can create some results. So you can do this math yourself, but 1 times 8 is 8, yeah, or 0, 8, as you might like prefer to call it. 4 times 7 is 28, 2. 8. Very interesting, yeah? Let me just run you through the number sequence. 08, 28, 54, 80, 100, 102, 98, and 64, the final one. Add all that together, you get 534, which is a great number, because 5 plus 3 plus 4 equals 12, for some sort of reason. But not only that, is that when we divide it by 6, which is the number of the 0 squared, we get the prime number 89. And the prime number 89 there is the last of the double digit Fibonacci sequences. So that's a great kind of, well, let's say like a key indicator or something. Because Fibonacci sequences run in steps of 5, and there's 5 single digit numbers, and then 5 double digit numbers, and then 5 triple digit numbers, and that's how they work in fourth dimension. Anyway, going back to the concept here of what we're looking at, let's have a look at those numbers and how do they fit together. Well, what we can see is, you know, like I said, 08, yeah, and we've got 80, yeah, and we've got 28. And in a sense, you could say, look, there's a 08, 80, and a 28 there, if you were to look at it more Let's say just from a sort of numerical perspective, you place the numbers over there. And that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you could say that those things we could make into a kind of code, couldn't we, that could move 8 through base 10. And also we could have the idea of 2-8, which would be 2-8 to 16, so and so forth. So we can do lots of things with that sort of thing. So let's place those numbers, which is 1, 2, 4, in a triangle. Let's make a triangle, and we're going to make those numbers, 1, 2, 4, those squares, those particular square numbers. Those ones are going to come with us. Yes, fantastic. Yep, so you're with us, yeah. 1 squared, 2 squared, and 4 squared. So now what we're going to do is we're going to bring forth some other numbers. Here, 8 squared is 10. But 3 squared is 9, yeah? So we've got 10 there on the last one, 9. That's a difference of 1, but we could say 09, couldn't we, yeah? Can you understand? It's like 09 and then 10. We're working in base 10 again, aren't we, yeah? Fantastic, yeah? So everything's working in a base 10 function, which explains how base 10 kind of works. Right. Now, that leaves us with three other numbers, yeah? Which is our number at position 5 squared, 6 squared, 7 squared. And if we look at 5 squared, we find this is number 100. 6 squared is 102. And 7 squared is 98, yeah? So the 49 times 2, 98. So that seems all rather bizarre, doesn't it? Because actually, if you think about it, what we've got there is 100 plus or minus 2. And that's what we can assign for those last ones. But we might as well just call it plus or minus 1 if we're just going to deal with even numbers only. Let's only deal with even numbers. Let's do that because then it's just plus or minus 1 set of even number. Yeah. And those numbers are associated with the numbers 6, 5 and 7. So 6 we call it the plus function, 5 the zero function, and 7 the minus function. Now that what that allows us to do is, for some people who like to think about it, the infinity of 7 is the infinity of 6, and all the other types of infinity that we create whilst doing fourth dimensional mathematics, that the infinity of 5 just happens to be slap bang in the middle of the infinities. Oh yes, that's right, yeah, slap bang in the middle there, cutting the 5 right the way through the 9s. And so actually when we turn those into infinite sets, we can start to understand we can work with infinite sets in that kind of way, as in a sort of halving of the infinity. Anyway, that's the structure of fourth dimensional mathematics from the perspective of a cross, and a little bit about how 0 to the power of 3 works with that plus or minus. We can just set it to 8, and once we set it to 8, then we can take those squares and we can build CPUs actually in octahedral format that actually move from that base upwards here. And that's just half of it, because that was just half of the numbers, that we can do that all again slap bang in the negative. And what's great about that is the number 64 is a great number to do that with, because it's a 64-bit, isn't it, yeah? And that we use those quite a lot. And all we have to have is divide that into half, 32-bit, yeah, which means that we're saving all of that memory and all that business, and to actually enact the two crosses and all the functions of fourth-dimensional mathematics. Then we can also add another 64-bit and run that in parallel. Just imagine, we could have the negative functions. Fantastic. Anyway, that's enough for me, and just about how fourth-dimensional mathematics works in a more sort of geometric function of the octahedral space, we call that, yeah. In a sense, actually, the 64 sits in the middle, and everything else comes out of that, yeah. You can check that out. What is 534 minus 64? 47. Another prime number. Fantastic. Right. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll come back to you shortly once we've got more information, and there's plenty more to come on the structure of numbers and fourth dimensional mathematics. And if you didn't get that, don't worry, you just pause it and get yourself a pen and paper and just write it all out for yourself, because that's the best way to learn. This has been Colin Powell from Into Infinity, where we're looking at all the cool things that fourth dimensional mathematics can bring to mathematical communities. And if you like what you hear, do join into our conversation at intoinfinity.com. Until then, goodbye. My name is Colin Power. You are awesome, and we'll see you next time.